Welcome to Hope is Here, bringing hope to those struggling with life's difficult situations.
Welcome to Hope is Here. My name is Greg Horn. We are talking about having purpose in our doubt. And I don't know that any of us like to think that there's purpose when we're doubting our faith. And yet, yesterday's program, we started looking at some of the things that really actually help us when we are doubting God and how our faith becomes real. And we started looking at the end of our program yesterday about a guy, John the Baptist, who was Jesus' cousin and was the one that predicted that Jesus was going to be the Messiah. But then John the Baptist was thrown in prison after he called Herod out about taking his brother's wife. And that's where we wrapped up yesterday's program and just talking about how John the Baptist had to be doubting about, okay, God, what's going on in Jesus, your family? And you talked about coming to set the captives free. It was prophesied that in Isaiah, and yet here I am in a jail cell, and a lot of time's gone by, and yet you're doing nothing. And on top of that, everyone's buzzing about Jesus and all the miracles he's performing and the authority of his teaching. But all the John the Baptist is hearing is crickets in his prison cell. So I want to ask you today, what is it for you? Maybe you doubt, like John the Baptist, because of the adversity that you're experiencing. Maybe it's the loss of a job. Maybe it's the loss of a spouse. Maybe it's the tension with friends or even with family. In time, the chaos of life can lead to a confusion of our spiritual understanding. And we start to question, is there a loving God who even cares about me? And if so, why did this happen? And I've talked about this before, friends, but sometimes when we're doubting, you know, it's okay to ask why for a while, but then we really need to change that question instead of saying why, say, what is it, God, that you want me to learn through this? I don't understand why, but I trust you. I'm going to stop doubting and instead help me understand what it is I'm supposed to be learning during this season of doubt, during this trial and tribulation, and what it is that I can do during this time. And when we're waiting, friends, remember we talked about this recently, that waiting is not an inactive period. It doesn't mean that we just stop living, okay? Even though I know that's easier said than done. When I did a program last week talking about waiting is the hardest part. A great song by Tom Petty, and obviously that was not a spiritual-based song, but it's true. Waiting is really, really hard, but God does great things in waiting. If you missed last week's program, it was on last Tuesday. Really want to encourage you to go check out April 16th. Go to our website, hopeishere.today.org. That's hopeishere.today.org, and you can listen to that 14-minute program, or it's available on wherever you listen to podcasts. But John the Baptist is hearing all these stories about his cousin. He is still sitting there in prison. He's starting to wonder what's going on. And in Luke chapter 7, John the Baptist attempts to get answers. The only way he knows how, he asks some of his followers who have visited him in prison. The person relay a question to Jesus. We pick up the story in Luke chapter 7, verses 18 and 20. John's disciples told him about all these things. Calling two of them, John the Baptist sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who's to come, or shall we expect someone else?" When the men came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, 'Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?'" In other words, are you the Messiah? It goes on to say in Luke chapter 7, verses 21 and 23, "At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to the many who were blind." So Jesus replied to these messengers, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." You know, friends, I think a lot of what's going on in this text is John looking for something that Jesus is not willing to give. I mean, you know, any of you have preschoolers, maybe you have one right now. We've been there, had that moment where your preschooler comes to you just a little while for dinner and says, "Hey, can I have a snack? Maybe a piece of that chocolate cake?" I know I did that to my mom when I was that age. And you say, of course, oh, no, you can't do that. We're getting ready to eat soon. You can't have chocolate cake, but, hey, you can nibble on some carrots if you want. Well, you know what? That little dude or that little gal, they don't want a carrot, do they? They want chocolate cake. But you don't give them what they want. You allow them to have what they need at that time. And friends, I think that Jesus is doing something similar here. John, because of his doubt, because of his circumstances, he definitely wants something. He wants an answer to this question, are you the Messiah? But Jesus meets the need, but it's not how John might have wanted him to. I want to share three ways in the time we have remaining here. We've got about 8 minutes that I think that Jesus said, you know what, I'm going to encourage you, but it may not be the way you're expecting. The first way that Jesus encourages John is Jesus offers transformation, but not information. Say that again. I know some of you like to take notes, and I'm always honored by that. Number one, Jesus offers transformation, but not information. John asked Jesus if he's the Messiah. It's a fair question, especially considering the fact that John has already announced that Jesus is the Messiah. But like us sometimes, John is like, man, I got to double check. John the Baptist is separated from Jesus' teachings and followers, so he wants certainty. He wants to cross every T, dot every I, check off all the boxes. He wants to know the truth beyond a shadow of a doubt. And some of you can relate to that because that's why God's wired you up also. But with man's limited intellect, it is difficult for us sometimes to get our arms around a limitless God. So when questioned, Jesus doesn't give him information. Instead, Jesus gives him an object lesson of people in that moment being healed and transformed, which can lead John to the correct answer. The second offer that Jesus makes to John is Jesus encourages faith more than answers. Jesus encourages faith more than answers. Jesus definitely implies his answer to John's question, but he doesn't explicitly answer it. He even leaves room for uncertainty. And I know some of you are thinking, why would Jesus do that? Well, friends, I think it's because he realizes that John's doubt can actually lead to a deeper faith. There is purpose in the season of doubt. Let's look at James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Got to be honest, though. I feel sorry for John. He simply wanted some answers from Jesus, but instead he received a faith challenge. Jesus tells him to examine the evidence and to decide for himself. Ultimately, Jesus was not leading a revolution that was going to force everyone to submit to his kingship. Jesus offered transformation, and he also told people to have faith. So it's not about having an answer to every question. It's about having faith when there is no easy answer. Well, say it again. Somebody listening today or watching on our YouTube channel, you need to hear that. So it's not about having an easy answer to every question. It's about having faith when there is no easy answer. And John didn't pretend, though, to believe something that he didn't. Oftentimes we do. We keep our concerns to ourselves, and Satan loves it when Christians play church and they suppress their doubts publicly, but inwardly Satan has a heyday with their belief system. And when it comes to our beliefs, friends, don't you think God would rather have you be honest with him about your doubts than have you profess a phony faith? He knows what's going on inside of you anyway. It's absurd to think that we can mask our doubts from God. But some prefer to fake a belief in Christianity just because we don't want to rock the boat. Yet later on, when your faith is challenged by a scoffing professor or unjust suffering, or disappointment in a spiritual leader, sometimes they can't suppress their doubts anymore, and their shaky spiritual foundation, it crumbles. So we're especially vulnerable to doubt if we don't know what it is that we believe, yet alone why we believe it. So we have to make certain that our doubt leads in the direction of belief, because being a Christian means that at times we will have some doubts to work through, friends. It's just part of the deal. Sometimes being a Christian means at times we will have to have some doubts to work through. Yeah, I'm so thankful. I know some of you are in a difficult season right now, but you still say, you know what? I'm going to listen to Hope Is Here. Whether you're driving to work in the morning or fixing breakfast at home, you're sitting at your desk at work. I know people listen to the podcast while they're getting ready in the morning, people when they're exercising, people on their breaks at work. And yet right now you're in a difficult season. But man, I want to thank you for putting yourself in a setting where you can be encouraged by God's word and by God's people. And here's the truth, friends. If you've never had any doubts about your faith, then you might not have much of a faith. A faith that has never been tested cannot be trusted. We'll say that again. A faith that has never been tested cannot be trusted. And that's why I can do Hope Is Here, why I'm so fortunate and blessed because of the generosity of our Hope Is Here financial partners to be able to continue doing this ministry. We've recorded over 1,000 programs, many, many wonderful guests sharing their stories of hope and faith when they went through just excruciating circumstances. Friends, our faith, if it's not been tested, it's not a real faith. It can't be trusted. I mean, we all look at a big oak tree and we think, man, that's amazing. That's such a big, strong tree, but it didn't get that way overnight. I mean, I love this quote by Rick Warren. God makes a mushroom, it takes him 6 hours. God wants to make an oak tree, it takes 60 years. And I know you're like, okay, Greg, how do I have that oak tree kind of faith? Well, friends, I hate to be Captain Obvious or make it so simple, but we got to dig into God's word. We have to dig into God's word. Now, through the Bible, it encourages us to do that. John chapter 20, verse 31, it says, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. And then Romans 10:17, it says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Jesus Christ. So friends, sometimes our prayer, maybe today this is your prayer, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. So here's the third offer that Jesus lays out for us. Jesus offers an internal perspective over a temporary remedy. Jesus offers an internal perspective over a temporary remedy. Anybody in college back many years ago, they used to have this thing called Cliff's Notes. Got that. Guilty as charged. When a reporter interviews somebody, they just get 8 to 10 second sound bites. But the fact of the matter, friends, that's the world we live in. And we just need to know if we're going to have faith, we have to be able to get looking at heaven and not just the short-sighted things that we see all around us. And so John the Baptist followers and Jesus, they want to know, are you the one who's come or one to expect somebody else? And Luke 7, verse 21, it says, at that very time, Jesus cured many who had disease, sickness, and evil spirits and gave sight to many who were blind. And I just love that Jesus winds up, you know, just showing them to go back and tell that to John of what he's doing and that John can do that in his faith. And friends, I just want to encourage you today that your future hope is far greater than any past or present pain that you might be experiencing. I want to say that one more time. Our future hope is far greater than any past or present pain that you might experience. So I want to encourage you to keep your eyes on Jesus. It may be a really, really challenging season of life, but you can know that Jesus is always with you and that he will never leave you or forsake you. I'm Greg Horn, and this is Hope Is Here.
Thank you for listening to Hope Is Here podcast. To listen to one of our previous programs or to make a tax-deductible donation, please go to our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.